Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Oh, let's go.
Maggie.
Has it been a week already?
Back in town.
Look out,
yeah.
Is back.
Great.
Chris McMahon. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 102 on the Fan. McMonagle back with you. I know you missed me. You don't have to tell me. I know. I missed you, too. A full week. We'll get into my vacation, why my nose is all bandaged up, and why it wasn't quite the staycation I was hoping for, but we'll do that later. Let's talk about the main reason that my vacation sucked. The New York Yankees. Let's go. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we got you till 5 a.m. when the warm-up show comes your way. And yes, the Yankees ruined my vacation, among many other things. But this Yankee team is infuriating to watch. And I know. I've been trying to tell myself that this team can be fixed, that this team is just in a rut, and everything else that's gone on. And honestly, I was with Aaron Boone when everybody was laughing at him at the end of the first half before the All-Star break and that disgusting loss on Sunday. I know it's a week plus now. I haven't been on the radio. We don't have to get into that disgusting, despicable game. We don't have to have the conversation on whether Clay Holmes was to blame or not. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I don't blame Clay Holmes when outfielders fall on their face. I don't tend to blame the closer for that. We get to it, that disgusting loss. But you know I have always been a proponent of momentum. And I was with Aaron Boone that I did see some things in that Baltimore series. One, we've seen the ace, Gerrit Cole, return to ace form in the last two starts. But at that point, he had a great start against Baltimore. We have seen Luis Gil come back and throw the baseball well. Actually, the bullpen had been better up until this, you know, last couple games. Where you saw Cousins give you some good performances. Hill give you some good performances. You've been getting better performances from the bullpen. And I did believe in Aaron Boone in some of the things he said about turning the corner. I know everybody gets so hung up on it. Oh, how could you say we're turning the corner? How could you say we're turning the corner? We just, two out of three against Baltimore. We turned the corner? We blew it in the ninth inning. Yes. Arguably the two best defensive players on the team last Sunday before the All-Star game decided to boot the easiest ground ball Volpe's had all year, and Verdugo fell down. But having said all that, I felt some momentum. That Rice home run to give them the lead in the ninth, winning two out of three, being literally a guy falling down in the outfield away from sweeping Baltimore. Then they come out of the dopey All-Star break and everything that happened between them. We can get into the home run derby and everything else you want to. We got 4 hours, 888-808-1019. They come out and they give you Friday night. And yes, it's Soto getting four hits. Yes, it's Gerrit Cole pitching well. It's not some of the ills that have contributed to this disgusting play over the last 29 or so games, more than that probably. But still, it was a coming off winning two out of three against Baltimore. You get that game Friday night. You're feeling good a little bit. You're feeling a little bit good. It's three out of four. It's in the Eastern Division, which they've struggled with all year. They look competent. The starting pitching's been better. And then they give you this slop over the last two games. And I have to tell you, it's frustrating for me. And I understand it's frustrating for all of us. But watching these last two games, watching the offense and their inability to get anything going on Saturday, their inability to get runners home at the beginning of this game yesterday, bases loaded in the first two innings, and they can't get the run across, whether it's Gleyber Torres hitting a fly ball not deep enough to get the run in. The double plays we've seen over and over and over again. It's maddening. It's maddening. Even in this case, yesterday, bases loaded, you get Juan Soto, and I don't want to hear it. All right, sometimes things just happen. Juan Soto's been great, and don't tell me, oh, what are you swinging with a 3-0 count? As you're watching the game, Juan Soto has a bases loaded, one out, Judge on deck. He gets a 3-0 count, and he hits a bullet that turns into a double play. And if you want to get on Juan Soto for swinging 3-0, you know what? either go call another show or call me and get yelled at, because all we do is talk about the guy's looking for walks. The guy's looking for walks. The guy's looking for walks. He's one of two hitters that can do anything in this lineup. Just ask Luis Severino. He's one of two hitters. He gets, if he believes he's got a cookie 3-0, you swing at it. He did the same thing against Toronto 2 or 3 weeks ago and hit a 3-run home run that felt like the same game that Stroman was screaming. It felt like it might have changed the damn season. That was a huge home run. If Soto likes a pitch, you try and do damage. But even he gets caught up in the Yankee ineptitude of scoring with runners in scoring position, getting a runner in from third with less than two outs. And this isn't just this year. This isn't just the last couple of years. It's been as long as I can remember. I have to watch Yankeeography to go back to a time when they were able to get the runner in from third. It's absolutely mind-numbing watching this team play offense. Mind-numbing. And yes, the pitching, no doubt, has been just as bad outside of Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole, who I talked about. And you know what? Let's get into the mindset. Let's do it. Let's have the conversation. Let's have the conversation you all want to have about Aaron Boone and the mindset of this Yankee team. And the tweet from Nestor Cortes, because even I, and I've got on Boone before, I will defend him against some of the nonsense and the over-the-top crap I hear, and people get hung up on, oh, did he say turn the corner? Like, relax. We get too nuts. But what I will say is now I am tired of some of the things I'm hearing, and not so much from Boone, and I get that he's going to defend his players. But when it starts to really rub off on the players on this level, even I have to perk an eye up and go, well, this is absolute nonsense. Now, I didn't have the problem with Nestor Cortes' tweet so much. Everybody wants to be us. I want to be on a team that always competes. Because you know what? That's what we say every offseason when we talk about free agents coming to the Yankees. It's a place to win. It's a place you can compete every single year for a championship. It's a team you know they're going to field at least a top payroll and give you a chance to win. We talk about it all the time. We just don't want to hear it from our players. I didn't have a problem necessarily with him trying to get back at a couple of guys in a all-star post-game show or whatever it was, where they wanted to try and make a couple of laughs at the Yankees' expense, and he got all riled up and made a stupid tweet. Now, it didn't bother me necessarily what he said, but what you can't do, when you're Nestor Cortes and you've been dominant at home and one of the worst pitchers in Major League Baseball on the road, you can't go out there and spit the bit the way he did. And then after the game, say the same crap. And what happened today, again, is Marcus Stroman saying in the postgame show, and again, I don't care about Boone defending players. We know that's what he's going to do. But I am going to get on him when we continue to hear the same crap from the players too. And when Marcus Stroman said today that I don't expect, hey, listen, we're not playing the way we want to play. I don't expect this to last long. Don't expect this to last long. Are we aware of what's going on? Are we aware? Are we aware that you are now 9-20 over the last 29 games? Are you aware that only the Chicago White Sox are worse than you? Are you aware you turned a season where you hit the 50-win mark at the beginning of June into a season where now you are 3 games in the loss column out of missing the playoffs? Are you aware of what is going on? Because it's one thing when questioned by reporters from the manager who wants to defend his players publicly. It's another for players to make it seem like they're unaware of the situation they're in. You want to get on Boone? Let's do it. Because that's where I have a problem. I don't have a problem with his in-game management. I don't have a problem with him defending his players. I have a problem if the entire team's mentality is going to be, I don't expect this to last long when it's been a month. And watching this crap is driving me crazy. Sunday in Baltimore, and then these last 2 games, the inability to contain and build on any momentum is absolutely mind-numbing. They went how long without winning back-to-back games? They went a friggin' month without winning back-to-back games, let alone a series, just back-to-back games. They finally accomplished that in Baltimore. They get a home run from Ben Rice, the kid, to give them a lead heading into the 9th inning. And yes, Clay Holmes walked a couple of hitters. Clay Holmes got 4 outs in that inning. It's all wiped away by a booted ground ball and an outfielder falling down on a 99% probability catch ball. That's how they hold on to momentum. Then they come out of the All-Star break after having dealt with that, after saying, trying to talk themselves all week into, hey, we won 2 out of 3. Hey, we won 2 out of 3. Things are turning around. They give you a Friday night where they look like a dominant baseball team. Yet again, we saw glimpses of ace Gerrit Cole on the mound, the great Juan Soto they traded for coming through with 4 hits and driving in runs, and they win a comfortable game, and it looks fairly easy. And then they follow it up with these two miserable performances against Tampa Bay, who can't hit, by the way. Who can't hit. Scoring all these runs, adding on runs to the bullpen at the end of the game, and the offense and their inability to come through in any meaningful situation, particularly at the beginning of games. And what's killed this Yankee team, and watching them play, these games are over in the first few innings, whether it's a starter giving up 5 or 6 runs in the first couple of innings, or whether it's this offense and their inability to come through in these situations. And early in the game, and it happened, you could see it in any game. Friday night, Mets, Pete Alonso hits into a double play in the first inning. When you put runners on early in the game, and you're going against a, not even, doesn't have to be a good starting pitcher, right? With the cliche of you better get to him early. That really works for almost any starting pitcher. Right, maybe not better get to him, but you have a good chance to get to him. And it changes the game when you break it open early. What happened Friday night? Volpe, double down the line, breaks open the game, away the Yankees go. What happens in this game, particularly yesterday? Bases loaded, can't bring him in. Bases loaded, a 3-0 count with Juan Soto up. If you can't score a run in that situation, think about that situation. For as lousy as the back end of this lineup has been, and it's been putrid, they found themselves in a situation yesterday where they have one out, the base is loaded, and a 3-0 count on Juan Soto followed by Aaron Judge, and they could not score a run. They could not score a run in that situation. It's embarrassing. This lineup's embarrassing. Right now, the team's embarrassing. And I'm not going to say the manager is embarrassing, but the message coming from the players, which is dictated to them by the manager, is becoming embarrassing. And even I, the Yankee shill, the Cashman and Boone shill, which, by the way, I got to stop tweeting sarcastically. Nobody gets sarcasm. I clearly put out a Boone tweet as a knock to all the Cashman haters. I was clearly being sarcastic about Aaron Boone and his 600 winning percentage. Nobody gets it. That's fine. But I can't hear multiple players continue to say, well, listen, we have a lot of faith in the guys here. We don't expect this to last too long. When it's already been a month. Like, what are you taught? There's only been like 3 of these in the season. It's a 6-month season. You're halfway through it. And for a third of the year, you've been the worst team in baseball. Well, I don't expect it to last very long. No, you don't. The only saving grace is that they got the trade deadline coming up. And let's talk about that for a second. Because here's the fact of the matter. Said it once, say it again. There are 3 players on this Yankee team that you cannot hide. There are 3 Yankee players on this team that you cannot replace. They cannot trade for everyone. There are 3 players who need to be better, and I had this conversation with Evan last Friday when I filled in for Tiki. Anthony Volpe, Gleyber Torres, and Alex Verdugo. Those 3 players cannot be hid anywhere in the lineup. Oh, he's hitting first. Oh, he's hitting cleanup. It doesn't matter. We can complain about lineup construction all we want. They don't have better answers. They're trying to get guys going. You know why they're putting Verdugo at the top of the order? Do you know why they're trying to get Verdugo fastballs? Because they need him. Because they can't attack the trade deadline as much faith as I might have in Brian Cashman, silly me. He can't go out there and revamp the entire team. In my mind, DJ LeMahieu is cooked. He's done. He's done. I was very concerned about foot injury. He's done. They have to be able to replace DJ LeMahieu. Go get a third baseman. You might be able to get another arm in the bullpen. You got Efros coming at some point. You get another arm in the bullpen, a good, legitimately back end of the bullpen arm. I think they can do that. You might even be able to get a back end of the rotation, mid rotation starter that you feel better about than Carlos Rodon, who's on the hook to salvage the series later today. But you might be able to get a starter who can help you a little bit. I don't think you're going to get a top of the rotation starter, but you might be able to get a decent third starter. You're going to be able to hopefully get a pretty damn good bullpen arm who can hopefully miss some bats. And you're probably going to be able to get a third baseman to replace DJ LeMahieu. That's it. I don't know what you think is going to come from this trade deadline. It is not going to revamp the entire freaking team. They're going to need Stanton to come back, who hopefully he's on the mend and will be here quickly, and we're going to do more on Stanton a little bit later in the show. You obviously need the Martian, Jason Dominguez, to come back, be part of the team. John Birdie is going to come back and be part of the team. And while we all laugh at the cliche of, oh, it'll be like making a midseason trade when the injuries come back, you can laugh at that all you want. They desperately need it. Hopefully it's happening. They desperately need it. You can't go out and trade for 6-7 guys. They're making 3 moves. And believe me, they're making them. I heard Laurie and Fliegelman discussing whether or not the Yankees are going to be, impact buyers. They have no choice. This team can't play bad enough over the next couple of days. They are absolutely out there hunting to salvage this season. They have no choice. This is an all-in year with Juan Soto. We all know this. We knew it heading in. And I think everyone besides Jason Dominguez is on the table. They will trade Spencer. They will Spencer Jones. They will trade whoever they need. Warren, they will trade whoever they need to help impact this team. But even with them, you can't revamp a whole team. So if you're in the camp that Verdugo is going to have the worst season of his career, if you are in the camp that Gleyber Torres is beyond saving, and again, when he makes an error, you know it's going to come back and hurt them. You just know it. You know it. He makes an error in this game. Other guys might make an error, and the Yankees could sneak by. Gleyber Torres makes an error. That third run's coming to score. You mark it down. But if you think Gleyber Torres is this version and will never get better over the next 2 months of the season, if you think Volpe was a flash in the pan in April and is this player that we're watching right now, well, say goodbye to any chance the Yankees have of serious winning in the MLB playoffs, if they even get there. Because they can't replace the whole team. They can't. Brian Cashman, as limited as you may think he is, and as much as I think he could still go out there and help this team, he can't change the entire roster. Verdugo was brought here to be a cog. He was for the first 2 months. He was. We can downplay it now because he's been awful, and he's 15 for his last 101. 50. I actually said that, and it happens to be true. 15 for his last 101. If he's going to be 30 for 202, the Yankees aren't winning. If Gleyber Torres is going to be this bad, the Yankees aren't winning. And if Anthony Volpe is making you wonder whether he should get a couple of weeks in AAA, the Yankees aren't going to be winning. So it's up to those players to step up. It's up to the manager to create some urgency. And it's up to the GM to get a couple of pieces, a third baseman, a reliever, and maybe a starter to help this team. But it's up to the guys in the room as well to improve. And I still believe it can happen, but man, do they make it freaking hard to try and keep that alive. Because if they're not going to do it after finally winning a series, the first 2 games against Baltimore, and then literally choke away a game like I've never seen choked away a game last Sunday, and if they're going to come out of the All-Star break and put arguably their cleanest performance of this entire stretch and go out there and win a nice, clean, crisp, well-pitched, run-scoring game. Volpe comes through with the big hit. If they can't follow that up with anything other than this lifeless crap that we've seen over the last 2 days, then you can kiss it goodbye, and we don't have to wait for July 30th. It is impossible to watch this team. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we're talking Yankees to start. We will get to the Mets, who also disappointingly have now lost the first 2 of 3 in this 4-game set against Miami, who has always been, I mean, how many years now have they been the thorn in the side of the New York Mets? I mean, they are 5-4 against the Mets, and they can't buy a win against anybody else in the NL East. It's amazing. And they have a huge game coming up later today, as well as the Yankees do, to salvage 4-game sets against opponents they should be beating. We'll get to Pete Alonso, because I think there's a conversation to be had about Pete Alonso. We'll get to the trade deadline. We'll get to all of it. We'll get to Aaron Boone. We'll get to Stanton. We'll also get to some football. And again, I haven't been here for a week, so I might, you know, tie some loose ends that have been bothering me all week. But we got to get to John Mara and some of the perception that came out of that Hard Knocks episode last Tuesday as we wait for the next one. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some football. Obviously, the Jets might be getting another wide receiver. A lot to do. 4 hours to do it. McMonagle back from vacation here till 5 o'clock in the morning right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
All lined up by Simmons. And a swing on him high in the air. Deep to center field. Way back. It may go. Long. A grand slam. A grand slam. Mike Piazza.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 127. I'm back with you. McMonagle here in the overnights, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So, yeah, frustrating time to be a Yankee fan. Frustrating time to be a Met fan. It's never fun to lose to one of the only really, you know, terrible teams in baseball right now. One of the only teams you know for sure are selling, and a team that has cost you a lot. A team that has beat you a lot. Same thing for the Yankees. Tampa has owned the New York Yankees over the last handful of years. And to watch that offense and to see what happens early in the game and how it impacts the entire game and the feeling you get, and it's got to be a feeling that they get too. And I don't know. And listen, people think I'm not open to being critical of Aaron Boone. Of course I'm open to being critical of Aaron Boone. I don't like I certainly don't like the messages players are giving right now, especially when I hear multiple guys talk about, I don't expect this to last long. I've heard that a bunch. It's been a month. It drives me nuts. I don't care when he defends a player. That's his style. It's what's going on. That's fine. That I don't mind. The actual defense of a player, or to tell you, you know, Nestor Cortez, I thought had some decent stuff when we know he didn't. Or I saw a lot of good at-bats out there today. I know he didn't. You know, I mean, did they get a lot of guys on? They did. Is that good enough? No. Is he saying it is? No. But I understand that he's trying to build his team up. That's what he believes in. But you can do that and still create a mentality inside the room that things need to change right away. And when you hear multiple guys talk about, I don't expect this to last long, when it's gone on for a month already, that's like, there has to be a sense of urgency, which I think Boone sort of, you know, I don't think he's void of urgency. I think he defends his players at all costs. I don't know what we want to hear. Like, you want to hear, oh my God, this team sucks right now. We're a disaster. Hell, I think we might miss the playoffs. Like, what do you want Boone to say? But whatever he's saying, it has to translate into a better mindset than the tweet from Nestor Cortez and from multiple guys saying, hey, I don't expect this to last long. It's got to be better than that. And they've got to figure out a way to lighten up, because it's even guys, you know, it's like Soto today. Now, I'm not going to get on Soto, and I think anyone who does is foolish. And I heard a couple calls with Laurie, I believe, at least one, getting on Soto for swinging 3-0. I have no problem. Let's make this clear. I actually, this is how, you know, I have more problem with Juan Soto bunting the other night that actually led to an inning. I have more problems with Juan Soto bunting right now for a base hit than I do swinging 3-0. All we do is the only narrative that's gone against Juan Soto is that he looks for walks in big moments. Looks for walks. Oh, he's happy to pass the baton. Happy to let Aaron Judge do it. Happy to walk. Looking for walks. If you get a 3-0 fastball with the bases loaded, you're Juan Soto in the short porch of Yankee Stadium, you swing the bat. I have zero issue. Zero issue. Now, it looked a little up and away. Is it a pitch I would have swung at? I mean, in hindsight, now clearly I wish he wouldn't have swung at it. It didn't seem like the cookie down the middle, but that's up to Juan Soto. He doesn't get the red light. I don't think it's a bad baseball play. He's just got to not hit into a double play. That's it. And it just seems like whatever happens, they are the bats gets a little grip tight, and they can talk all they want about they don't expect it to last long. Right now they play like they know they can't get out of it. That's how it feels. And to waste the momentum of the first two games against Baltimore and then the first game of this series against Tampa Bay is just mind-numbing. And I wish I was on last week just to argue with you people about Clay Holmes. I wish I was. I honestly debated calling in and seeing if I could have the Monday show back, but that's not right to, I believe it was, who was on? Yeah, that's right. Alvin Cintron. I think it was Alan on Monday. It wouldn't have been fair to him, but I desperately wanted to get on and fight with all of you about Clay Holmes on Sunday. Yes, he was wild. Closers aren't perfect. Kimbrel gave up a 3-run bomb in the ninth inning for Baltimore, and he's been having a great year. Clay Holmes was not perfect. Clay Holmes walked the bottom of the lineup. All of that is true. But when you make the pitches, when you get the easiest of ground balls hit directly to your shortstop, your gold glove shortstop, who's actually been better this year defensively than he was last year when he won the gold glove, when you get that ground ball to end the game, I'm sorry. You could point to everything else that happened in the inning. He got the pitch to get out of it. And then you give up a fly ball with a 99% catch rate, and your left fielder doesn't just make a misstep. He takes a step in and then falls on his face. He fell down. I'm sorry. I'm not happy with Clay Holmes necessarily, but when I think about who to blame for that inning, I think of the Major League shortstop Gold Glove winner who couldn't field a ground ball, and I think of the outfielder who fell down. Okay? When they fall down, I don't blame the pitcher. Okay? I don't blame the pitcher. If Bernie Williams fell down on Mike Piazza's fly ball in the 2000 World Series, it might have been a different game. And I wouldn't have blamed Bo. But that was the bookend of my vacation, along with everything in between, and we'll get to him over the course of the next 2 days. I got 5 hours tomorrow to cover. I might tell you all the trials and tribulations of what was supposed to be a fun stay at home, staycation by myself with hours, kids at camp, and just me. I was going to go to the batting cage. I was going to play golf. I had all these aspirations. And I sit here before you telling you I did none of that, and I've got a stupid bandage over my face. That's the kind of week I had, bookended by two miserable Yankee performances. But let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Brad Middletown. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guy, how are you?
Oh, good, Brad. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. On my way home from work. Listen, what they need to do is make it very simple. They want to win these games, they got to put in people that are hungry and willing to hit the ball. They haven't done that yet.
What do you mean hungry and willing to?
Why do go out?
Yeah, because he's their left fielder. Who else are they going to throw out there?
There's a number of people they can throw out there. I was actually reached for one of the rookies down at Columbus.
No, you can't do that.
Well, you go keep your
team. Yeah, they don't even have a team in Columbus anymore. They haven't had a team in Columbus anymore. So it would be, you know, be Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, Scranton, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Listen, they've already brought up Bird. Verdugo was brought here. Verdugo has been an above, not a great player, not an all-star necessarily. He has been an above-average left fielder in this game for years. Years. And right now, he is awful. They need him to get going. Hiding him, benching him, that's not the answer right now. Maybe it will be eventually, but right now I can't just bench the guy who is going to be a part of changing this team and who was a part of changing this team early on in the year. I've got to see, like, Verdugo's not spent. DJ LeMahieu is 34 or whatever he is. He's had multiple injuries. He hasn't been
36.
He hasn't been good for a long time. He's washed. This is Verdugo's playing on a contract year. He's in the prime of his career. Verdugo's not done. He's just in a terrible freaking slump, and they need him too much to just go away from him. You can't do that. Same thing with Gleyber Torres. You can't just, you know, you're going to get rid of Volpe too? Like, you can't just jettison everybody who's not hitting.
Well, they got to do something. I mean, Gleyber Torres has blown a lot of games because he can't feel worth a darn at second base.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with a lot of what you're saying. I thought he every once in a while he makes a boneheaded play. I actually think he's got good range. He's got a good arm. He makes a lot of good plays. Every once in a while he makes boneheaded plays. And they killed him, no doubt. And you knew when he blew that ball in the game yesterday, they were going to end up scoring that run. You knew it. But they got to get guys in there who are willing to hit the ball. Do you want to hear a crazy stat? Here's a crazy stat that I found absolutely nuts. Do you know which team in the American League has the best run differential? That means the team that has scored more runs than they have given up. The gap between runs scored and runs given up. Do you know what team has the best run differential in the American League and is only second to the Philadelphia Phillies? The New York Yankees. The New York Yankees have the best run differential in the American League. Now, I'm certainly not trying to justify a 9-20 stretch. What I'm telling you is that's how good this same group of players were to start the year. That they could be the worst team in baseball for a month plus and still have the best run differential in the American League. With Verdugo, with Gleyber Torres, with the only real missing piece is Stanton. And that's with a Judge struggling in April. This same group was the first team to 50 wins and still has the best run differential in the American League. All right, there are changes to be made, no doubt, and they have to add, no doubt. Verdugo's got to be a part of it, or they're not going to win. Volpe has to be a part of it, or they're not going to win. Yes, even Gleyber Torres has to be a part of it, or they're not going to win. LeMahieu is a piece you can make up for. LeMahieu's 36 years old. LeMahieu's been struggling for a long time. You can go out and get one infielder. You can replace him. You cannot replace everybody in this lineup that's struggling. Stanton's going to come back, and so you won't have to see Grisham anymore. Wells has actually had some decent at-bats. You'll see less of Trevino when he gets back and healthy. Obviously, you're not going to see much of Nevarez right now as the backup catcher while Trevino's hurt with a quad injury. But like, there are some guys you can get rid of and replace, and then there are some guys who you cannot. It's just that simple. So when you say to me, oh my God, how are they still throwing Verdugo out there? What would you like them to do? They traded for him. He is proven. Oh, get someone from the minor leagues who isn't proven a damn thing. Verdugo is a proven Major League Baseball player. Verdugo, for most of the year, led the American League in defensive runs saved at the left field position. He is an excellent defensive player, and he's been a slightly above average offensive player. And right now, for the last 100 at-bats, he's been the worst player in baseball. If that continues, there's nothing you can do about that. Sorry. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's amazing, too, because, and I know everyone references it, but it's true. If you take into consideration the beginning of the year, his impact on the team, excuse me, I got a little tickle in my throat. If you look back at the beginning of this year, his impact on the team, whether it be the dog mentality and that little run with the barking in the dugout, which we haven't seen much of. If you think about moving him to cleanup, kind of is when Judge and the lineup took off for a little bit, for about a month before it all came crashing down. And you take into consideration that home run against Boston, because I'll tell you what I said. I said, when he hit that home run against the Red Sox, I said, Verdugo is not a great player. He's an average player, but he's a gamer. And to show up in that first game back in the building where they traded him away to their biggest rival, and it's because of not necessarily his play, but because of his attitude or because of who he is as a person and the inability to get along with his manager. And they jettisoned him to the chief rival of the franchise. And in the first at bat, I believe it was the first pitch, he hit a ball 420 feet to dead center field for a home run. And I said to myself, gamer. This is a guy who I don't know what he'll do over the course of the regular season. I don't expect him to have a monster year, an all-star year, a great year. But come playoff time, come big games, this is a guy we're going to look to. I remember thinking that. Since that moment, he's gotten like 12 hits. It's unbelievable how bad he's been. It's unbelievable how bad he's been. Now, he smoked the ball the other day. It got, he smoked the ball yesterday, right down the line, caught by the first baseman. That's how it happens. When you're going bad, these things kind of happen. But there's no hiding him. I don't know what we expect from, you can't. Their answer to Jason Dominguez was the answer to the other outfield piece. If he stunk, if Stanton got hurt, either of those two things happened, there's Dominguez. He got hurt. Right? If they made a last-minute trade right before the year to get a guy who hit 300 last year in John Birdie, in case LeMahieu sucks or Cabrera stinks while LeMahieu's on the mend, we have John Birdie. He collapses his legs went limp when he tore his calf muscle. He just went straight down to the ground. And now he just had a minor setback. Who knows when you get him back? They had backup plans to some of this. The backups got hurt. And this isn't excuse making. This is just a fact. John Birdie might have sucked. I don't know. It wasn't a good enough backup plan. Clearly. I'm not trying to make excuses, but these are facts. I'm not spitting lies. These are facts. Jason Dominguez was going to come up and play. He's hurt. John Birdie was brought here. John Birdie was ask Met fans, ask your Met fan friends, playing for Miami, what kind of pesky hitter John Birdie was. And what kind of player he is. I think he hit around, it was like 285, 290 last year in 400 at-bats for the Marlins. For the Marlins. He's nowhere to be found. And the other thing with Stanton, too, they bring him back. I don't understand, and I know I'm being a little stupid here with this one, I guess. I don't know. I've seen B-roll now, and I've said this before because we've seen it before, but they went to extensive detail about his rehabbing. I've seen him run the bases. Just the other day, they had video of him working out in the outfield and running the bases. He looks exactly the same as he did in the regular season. Activate him. Put him in the lineup. Jog around the bases. Don't run. Walk to first. I don't give a damn. They need somebody in there now. And I don't care about, we've seen him come back from injury after a rehab assignment and after playing games in minor league baseball and still come back and need a month. I don't need it. Not with the lineup performing like it is. When Stanton is healthy and able to stand in the box and swing, you put him in the lineup. Do not send him to Scranton. Do not send him to Somerset. Do not send him to Hudson Valley, although I'd love to go see him play. Send him directly to Citi Field, hopefully, over these next 2 days. They need him. They absolutely need him. But, watch the beginning of this game. It tells you all you need to know. Right? Stroman gives up a home run to the first batter. Yankees come back, have bases loaded in the first two innings, can't get a run across. A run. And Verdugo's a part of it, and Torres is a part of it, and Volpe is a part of it. Ben Rice, other than the 3-run home run, hasn't really done much lately, but that was a huge home run. They needed to win that game. They needed to win that game. And they need to win the game today, and they've got Carlos Rodon on the bump. I don't feel that good about it, to be quite honest with you. And the trade deadline can't come soon enough, but it's not going to solve all the problems. It's going to make them better. And there's no doubt. I absolutely believe that Spencer Jones is on the trading block. I firmly believe that. I think they will trade anyone other than Jason Dominguez. And I think they are all in. I understand they played terribly for a month. There is no, you can't second guess this. You can't shy away from it. This is a big season. It's a big season for the manager. It's a big season for the general manager. It's a big season for the owner. It's a big season for Juan Soto and the Yankees. There's no other way to put it. And I don't care what position they're in. What's today? The 21st? 22nd? What's today? The 22nd. The trade deadline is 8 days away. Nothing. They could lose every game between now and then. Doesn't matter. All in. That's it. It's the only choice they have. It's the only choice they have. And I don't know if they're in the market for one of these big-time pitchers, whether it be a Skubal or a Crochet. I don't know if those are the kind of guys they'd be involved with, but they've got to figure it out. And I'd rather the lineup is such an issue right now, and they need so much there. And I still feel like they have two guys at the top of the lineup, and I would, you know, I would throw Stroman out in a playoff game. Plus, you've got and take my chances with Stroman in a playoff game. Hopefully, you've got, you know, guys coming back from injury in the rotation as well. But it's tough for me to trade that prospect and not get a stud everyday player back. It's going to be very difficult to trade him. If they're going to trade their biggest chip, are they really going to trade it for a starting pitcher and let this offense, like, he's got to be for a regular player, doesn't he? You got to get your third baseman. You got to get an infielder. You got to get someone. You got to get Paredes or somebody to come play third base with Spencer Jones. It would have to be a top-level starting pitcher. And even then, I'm so concerned about the offense because that's what's been the problem every single postseason. But you could see it in the first couple innings. It's just unbelievable to watch this team function. 888-808-1019. We'll have more conversation about that and what the Yankees should do. Next hour, we'll get to the Mets as well and their struggles coming out of the All-Star break, and specifically one player who has now changed the dynamic of who he is with the team and what needs to happen moving forward.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 153, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We'll get into more of the Yankee trade deadline talk in a little bit. Me and Fleeks just had a good conversation I'll bring to the air. A little bit about what you can expect if you are looking to trade Spencer Jones. And he also agrees with me because he has a head on his shoulders that Clay Holmes is not to blame for the other day. That's all. I'm not saying Clay Holmes has been terrific. He's blown some saves, no doubt. He's got too high of a whip to be an elite closer right now, no doubt. I still would tell you, I don't know what options are out there other than Tanner Scott, who is a clearly better option to close games than Clay Holmes. And when a reliever gets me four outs in an inning, I have a tough time blaming him. That's all. That game falls at Volpe and Verdugo. The double Vs are the reason that game was lost. Not the closer. And it just drove me absolutely nuts. Every once in a while, you know, listen, you know how I am. I'm open to the idea that I'm too much like Boone and I'll defend the players. And we'll get to a little bit more Boone, too, in his 600 win percentage and my tweet that, you know, nobody gets sarcasm anymore. But when a reliever gets the easiest of ground balls to a Gold Glove shortstop, when he hits a can of corn fly ball and the outfielder falls down, I have a tough time caring about how many guys he walked prior. I really don't. I really don't care. I mean, Gleyber Torres, right, gave up the error and then gave up the base hit. No, I mean, and then the run scored. I'm sure more people are mad at Gleyber in the errors. We're picking who we're mad at. We don't like Clay Holmes, so we're mad at Clay Holmes on Sunday. When he got four outs in the inning. He has to get five to get a save? Because if you have to get five outs to get a save, a lot of blown saves are going to happen. A lot more closers are going to blow saves if they need five outs. If you got to get an inning and two-thirds worth of outs in one inning, a lot more blown saves, believe me. That one drove me nuts. The fan reaction to that one, other than can you believe these two guys blew these plays, that was the story of the game. Ben Rice's home run and Volpe and Verdugo blowing the easiest of plays and Verdugo literally falling down. He fell down. I don't know if you saw it. He fell down. He took a step in and then had one of those slow fall downs where you know it's coming, but he's still making steps. Like, oh, he's still running, but he's going to fall on his face. You saw it coming. And the ball lands very peacefully right in the outfield. But Clay Holmes' fault. That one drove me absolutely bonkers. I know it's a week ago. We don't have to spend time on it. It drove me absolutely nuts. Philip in Washington Heights. What's up, Phil?
Good evening, Chris. I was going to just about say what you did. If I change trade Spencer Jones, I want it for a young everyday third baseman. I don't want to trade him for a relief pitcher.
You might. I'm thinking. Hopefully, you get both. You know, you put a package together of main. You know, the prize piece being Spencer Jones, and you can get a reliever and Paredes from Tampa Bay, which I don't know if I love Paredes, but he's a young, controllable third baseman. You could go, Fliegelman was telling me someone called his show, and you try and get Tanner Scott and Jazz Chisholm together in a piece for those two. Like, you get a infielder and a reliever with a package based around Spencer Jones.
What would you do with Hill? Would you leave him in the rotation, or would you put him in the bullpen?
Who, Luis Hill?
Yes.
Yeah. As long as he's not showing me signs of real fatigue and he hasn't lost it, I would absolutely keep him in the rotation.
One point about Lemieux, I followed his career. I used to watch him, like when he played the Mets with San Diego, and all. He's been a real pro. But I think it's time. Like if you think there's any chance, maybe the end of the year, the Yankees would just pay him off.
No, I mean, I think he's got two more years after this one at $15 million each. No, they're not going to just pay him off. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think it's time to stop playing him, though. And I was a proponent for it. I remember when he led off, it was last Friday for the Baltimore series, I guess. And I was in here with Evan, and the lineup came up, and DJ was hitting leadoff. And I said, I understand it. As I'm sure every fan went nuts about it, and I get it. He's been one of their worst hitters, if not one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball. But they're trying to get him going. You want to get him fastballs in front of Soto and Judge and see if you can get him hot, because a hot DJ is the best option they have. But now it's just been too long. You can't let him. I mean, you tried it for a couple games. You put him in the leadoff spot. He was terrible. But I'm open to trying those things, even against Baltimore. Because, these games are important, but they're not going to win anything if they don't have players playing well. Like, no doubt the games are important. I get it. I'm not saying they're not. They are important. But trying to get DJ or Verdugo or Torres hot are more important than any one game, even against Baltimore. When your options are what? Putting Ben Rice leadoff? Putting who else is going to hit leadoff? Oh, you can't have Torres cleanup. Like, Wells. All right, Wells has been better. He has to hit cleanup? Has to. Otherwise, the Yankee lineup has no chance. What's Wells? Let's be honest. He's had some good at-bats, but he hasn't. It's not like he's tearing the cover off the ball. Getting these guys going is as important as anything. Any win, any one individual win, no matter the opponent. So I was open to the idea of giving LeMahieu a couple games in leadoff in front of Judge and Soto. See if he gets fastballs and see if he can start hitting. But, I mean, how many chances can you give him now? They're going to bench him for a couple days. It should probably be longer than that. Cabrera had better at-bats. Like, it's time now. It's been long enough. It's been long enough. And that's a player they can overcome. You can overcome one of those guys stinking. LeMahieu's the guy. He clearly looks washed. I forget which game it was at, but he hit a backup slider, hanging slider in the middle of the plate, and I thought he put a real good swing on it. I did. I thought he put a real good swing on it. It didn't even come within 15 feet of the warning track. And I remember thinking, geez, that looked like a good swing. That looked like DJ's best. And he had absolutely no drive behind it. None. The ball went absolutely nowhere. And that scared me as much as anything. Yeah, sure, he's scuffling. Oh, yeah, sure, his swing looks terrible. Great. But what about when he gets everything right and gets a hold of one and it goes nowhere? Now you're like, well, what do you have? That's the swing I'm looking for. And it did nothing. So for me, I think they're, you know, DJ's going to become an expensive bench piece that you don't have any confidence in, because I don't think they'll cut him. I don't think he'll retire. And I don't think you can just eat $30 million over the next year. Maybe in the offseason, someone would be willing to take him off your hands for another bad contract or something along those lines. But right now, I don't see a match. But I also can't play him. It's amazing how much the Yankees need. It is. It's amazing considering they were the first team in Major League Baseball with 50 wins. They still have the best run differential in the American League. And they were a dominant force. Not just like, hey, pretty good. I'm impressed. I'm happy about how they're playing. I didn't expect it to be this good. No. Just flat out dominant. Where they won 17 of their first 20 series. Dominant to this. It's hard to explain. Other than Volpe, Torres, LeMahieu, Verdugo, all suck. And you can't hide them all.